The next coach on the teleconference is Iowa's Kirk Ferentz. The Hawkeyes are 3-2 in conference play and 5-3 overall. Iowa visits Penn State on Saturday, a 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time kickoff on BTN. Coach, thank you very much for joining us. If you could give us some quick opening comments, then we'll go ahead and open up the call for questions.
Sure. You know, I think we had a productive bye week. It was good. Came at a good time for us. So, you know, hopefully I think we've moved forward a little bit here, and we'll need to because we have a big challenge heading out to State College this weekend. They've got a team that's playing very well. They're a good football team, playing with a lot of momentum and tough environment. So we've got a big week in front of us.
Thanks, Coach. We'll take questions now.
To ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, there are no questions in the queue following two prompts, so we'll conclude that coach's portion of the call. Your first question comes from David Jones, PennLive.com.
Hi, Kirk. I went through some stats here about road records, and your guys' road record is pretty amazing the last 4 years. It's the best of the Power Five schools. And yet your home record is, like, not all that great. It seems like your teams just don't even react to wherever they're playing. Can you figure out any reason for that?
Yeah, I think pretty simply it, and I haven't analyzed it like you have. I didn't know the stats like you did, so I can tell you that. But I think basically it gets down to, you know, the team that plays the best on whatever field you're on. And I've kind of always believed that. Being on the road can help you. Sometimes it can hurt you. It depends on, you know, the state of your team and the challenge, all those types of things. But I think, you know, the percentages would say it's the team that performs the best that given Saturday. And, you know, if you look back this year at least, you know, the teams we've lost to at home are all good football teams. They played well the day we played them. And, you know, we have respect for all three of those teams, you know, afterwards, certainly.
It's been said that the teams reflect the personalities of their coaches. I don't know if that's true or not, but you know where I'm going here, okay?
I don't, but, you know, if it was last year, that's great. I think I'm glad to hear that.
Well, yeah.
2012, not so happy to hear that.
Point well taken. But you seem, yeah. You, I'm sure you preach what a lot of coaches have, but maybe your teams embody the bromide that you never get too high, never get too low. Do you buy into that or not?
Well, I think you have to if you, you know, in football, it's not like baseball where you got 162 games, you know. I mean, I'm not sure about that whole mentality, but in football, every game is really critical, all 12 of them that are guaranteed. So, you know, you better prepare and compete as hard as you can each and every week. And to me, it's about as simple as that. But, you know, I know this too, if you do it long enough, you're gonna hopefully go through some really good times, and you're also going to go through some really tough times. And, you know, if you're ready to pack the tent and just pitch it in after you stub your toe, it probably won't last very long. And then conversely, you know, if you have a good win and can't get your feet back on the ground, it's the same thing. You're going to get nailed. So, you know, I think anything you do that's competitive and tough, you know, if you can't stay relatively even keeled, that's not to say you don't enjoy a good moment, and it's not to say you don't, you know, bleed and ache over a tough one, but at some point, you better get back to center pretty quick and get moving on the next challenge. And, you know, the only time you really can celebrate or mourn is, you know, when the season's over.
Do you think your teams take on your personality? And I'll leave you alone then.
Yeah, last year they did. Absolutely. I told them to win 12 games, and they're right there. But, you know, I think that's, you know, it's fair of any position coach, any coach. I mean, when you're around – it's not quite like marriage, well, you know, but it is in some ways because we're together a lot, and you know, so yeah, I think certainly every team reflects their coaching staff a little bit, but and there again, I would call it, you know, this isn't basketball. You know, we don't have five guys out there on the court. One coach can't coach all, you know, five starters. At least I don't, you know, I've never seen a football coach good enough to do that, where they can coach every guy on the team. And, you know, so it's a real team effort, whether it's the players playing the game, the coaching staff working, the support staff. There's so many people involved to have success. So, you know, I think certainly the head coach sets the tone, but to think that it's, you know, a dictatorship or, you know, one person totally, you know, making all that difference, I'm not sure that's 100% correct.
Thanks a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Again, if you have a question, simply press star, then the number one. Your next question is from Matt Baker, Tampa Bay Times.
Hey, Kirk, kind of coming out of left field with a little bit of a big picture question here, but what are the biggest ways you've seen the Big Ten change since you've been a head coach?
Oh, boy, that's a big picture question for sure. And, you know, I'm not so sure how much it has changed. You know, I got here in 81 and really outside, you know, I'd heard of Michigan and Ohio State because that was a big game back in the 70s. And quite frankly, coming into Iowa in 81, the winner of that game went to the Rose Bowl for 13 straight years. So it wasn't like there was a lot of drama to see who was going to go to Pasadena back then. That is when history really changed, I think. The Hawkeyes went in 1981, and Coach Fry was the architect of that whole thing. And it's interesting. I don't know, you know, since expansion, you can do the math, but when it was a 10-team conference, I think all but two of the original 10, or at least the 10 that were in the league when I got here, all but two have been to the Rose Bowl since. So, you know, there's parity in our conference. There's opportunity. That's certainly a change from the 70s. But bottom line is, you know, traditionally, at least since I got here in 81 and give me a 9-year window in there, but I don't think it's much different than the 90s. This conference has had really good coaches in it. And I can tell you firsthand, that's the case today. You know, we get to compete against outstanding coaches and teams and a lot of great teams and a lot of great individual players. And a lot of those guys have gone on and played in the pros, but a lot of them have gone on and done a lot of other neat things too. And I think it's one of the neat things about this conference. There's a great balance between academics and athletics. I think we compare very favorably to anybody in the country that way. And we've had good teams. And, you know, I'll just wrap it up. In 2002, I'll never forget coming out of the media days in August. And it was like it was a crisis situation. The sky was falling. We didn't have a marquee quarterback in the conference. You know, all that stuff that everybody worries about. And at the end of the year, the Big Ten had a national championship team in Ohio State. They beat Miami. And, you know, we ended up, I think, eighth in the country that year. And neither one of us had a quarterback that was heralded going into the year. And both guys played pretty well. So, you know, I mean, even that year it was doom and gloom. But, you know, I think you could argue we had a pretty good conference that year. And that's been a traditional, you know, the names changed. There's a rotation. There are a lot of common denominators, too, but there's been a rotation. Yet, you know, a lot of good football being played in our conference week in and week out. And, I've always believed that, at least since I got associated with the conference in 81.
How much more team speed is there now than 81?
Well, I'll tell you, that Anthony Carter guy is pretty fast up at Ann Arbor. Thank God they only threw it to him once that day. Otherwise, we wouldn't have beaten him, but he was pretty fast. Wolfolk, the running back, he was pretty fast. You know, so I'm going back however many years that is, 30-some, right? 34, mm-hmm. 5, I don't know. But, like, there's some fast guys in the conference then. There's some fast guys now. And, you know, I think a lot of this stuff, you know, I think there's a lot of perception, you know, quite frankly. I mean, you know, I don't know. I'm sure we had some slow teams back then, but and we weren't very fast at Iowa that year, but we had a good team, you know. So, I mean, all that stuff kind of comes and goes. And but, you know, it's not a track meet. Winning football games isn't a track meet. It doesn't hurt to have fast guys, but it's not a track meet. It's not a combine. It's really how your team plays. And I think if you look overall, I mean, that's really what it gets down to. And, you know, I know there's a lot of different styles of plays, all that stuff, but there's a lot of ways to be successful, too. And if you have big, fast guys that are good football players and good team guys, that's not a bad deal. But, you know, there's a lot of different ways to be successful. I think you look at it every year. You know, that's historic, and, you know, it's kind of interesting.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Coach, thank you for your time, and we'll talk to you again
next
week.
Thank you.